Okay, we're up to Perek Chof Aleph, Pasuk Yud, Perek Chof Aleph, again, Pasuk Yud, Nefesh Rasha Ivsara, Lo Yuchan Be'enav Re'ehu, a Nefesh Rasha, the soul of an evil person, Ivsara, desires evil. As the Mitzvah will explain in one moment, a person should not make a mistake and think that people are evil. People who are evil, it's just a mistake. It's an accident. They don't know the difference between good and bad. So by mistake, they do things that are not proper. Pasuk here says something very powerful that's not so. There are people that are inherently evil. Their root, their neshama is evil. There are such creatures in the world, and there's nothing you can do about that. You can't. It's very very difficult, if not impossible, to take a person whose neshama desires. Ivsa means has a desire to do evil. And these evil people, lo yuchan be'enav re'ehu, they do not find favor, they do not favor their friends. Let's see the Mitzudos David, what this means in detail. Pasuk Yud Ivisara desires evil. Ein ma'ase harasha al ki yite lachshav she ma'asav tovim. An evil person it's not correct to think that the evil person makes mistakes. The reason why he chooses a lifestyle of evil is because he is ignorant. That's not correct. People who are evil because they want to be evil. They love it. They relish in riches. Rather, Avil Yodehu Birasam. They know good and well they're evil. V'nafshe choshkolo, and they have a desire. Ulzen, therefore. Now, I don't really know what this means. I have a hard time understanding what this means, so I ask you please to concentrate and tell me what this means. For the elis of the Olam, Ulzen lo yuchan be'enav re'ehu rasha kamoso, and therefore he does not favor his fellow evil man. What does this mean? Kiim choshvo letova. Is it kiim or kolecha? I don't know what this means here. Kiim chashavo letova. Lo yuchan be'enav re'ehu rasha kamoso. It's not favorable in his eyes another evil person that is like him. Kiim chashavo letova. I don't know what that means. Im kein miharoy lehoiv lere'ehu kemishbat anshei hatzedek. Okay, I don't really have clarity on what this means. Similarly, in the Mamloes, he translates his a number of interpretations of what it means, and they all seem to say is that a Rasha, he's very happy when his friend also has tzaras. If you have a real friend, a good person wants that his colleagues should have success in life. But a person who is Ivsara, it's not favorable in his eyes, Re'ehu, when his friends succeed, but rather only when his friends suffer. Okay, let's see over here, Rashi, there is no Rashi. Let me actually read you what it says in the Mamloes, because maybe it provides more clarity on this very difficult pasuk. Okay, here it says over here, Lo yuchan ve'enav re'ehu, af al pi sheyirech haveru ke'oyhavo, even though an evil person he makes believe that he has friends, lo yuchan oso v'lo yurachem olav bivo olav ra'ah. He doesn't have any rachmanis upon his friend when his friend suffers a tragedy. Even though he's good to his friend in order that he should derive benefit for himself, so the Mamloes here is explaining that the word yuchan means chen loshen matnas chinam. That when you do something good to a person without any expectation of getting something in return. Many people, when they do good things, the only reason why they're doing something good, they're befriending, they're doing chesed, is because they expect a return on their investment. I'll be good to you, so you will be good to me. But when Loshon of Chen is Matnas Chinam, I'm going to give you a gift without any expectation that I receive something in return. A person who is does a desire, Ivisara, when it comes to his friend, he'll be good to him, he'll be kind to him, only when there is an expectation, the possibility that the friend will reciprocate. But when it's a matter of Matnas Chinam, a gift, and there's absolutely no expectation I'm going to get something in return, then the source of his evil will not allow him to be good to him. Avumitzat ha-chanina, he says over here in the Imam Loes, chanina, lo yuchan olav biyom edo, he will not show him favor on the day of his tragedy. Uvaze megala lo nishlom alo vashalom, ofio harasha la rasha, she'en reitze betoiv ha-soylem, does not want the world to be in this good state, v'samach, and he has rejoices, kishayesh ra bichlal uveprat. He has delight when there is tsaris for the klal and tsaris to the individual. V'gamri ehu lo yuchan be'ena v'hu sameach sheyesh loy tsaris. Okay, this is how he translates the pasuk. I don't know if that's what it says here in the Mitzudos. Lo yuchan be'ena v'ehu rasha kemoso. He's saying another rasha. He's saying in the Mitzudos, he's saying something entirely different. He's saying here the rasha kemoso. He does not have. He doesn't explain here all the perushim.
Yeah. Let's go back. He yodehu
yeah. He loves Russia. Yeah.
Lo yitim be'enev reyehu Russia kiim chashva l'tayda. He won't think any good about the other guy, the other Russia, unless he does something good.
What does that mean exactly? What does that mean exactly?
The Russia is looking.
You project upon other people what you know about yourself. Yeah, that's the concept that you always, that they always, the Gemara always give is in every generation when they make portraits of Yashka. I've heard this by, I think, by Becher. Every generation study, go through Yashka. What does he look like? They can be portraits of Yashka. They always make him look like what you look like. If you're black, exactly. So in Harlem, Yashka is black. In Italy, he looks like an Italian. In Spain, he looks like someone from that country. Every country makes them African. Every country, you project yourself upon the object that you're addressing. Here as well, a Russia who is inherently evil cannot see the good in someone else. So when he sees a Re'eyu, when he sees a good person, let's say you see really a tzaddik. So and the tzaddik does chesed. So the Russia says he's not doing it. He's not doing chesed because he wants to do chesed. He's doing it because he has an ulterior motive. Why are you being choshei the person of doing a mitzvah for ulterior motive? It's because you would only do something for ulterior motive. So since you are so corrupt, you're so cruel, you only do things shaloi lishma, you automatically project that approach to life on every person that you know, even people that are 100% righteous and do things that are truly good. But that's not really what it says over here. That's not what the Mitzvah is saying. That's a different idea. Lo yuchan lirei'eyu, lo yuchan be'eino re'eyu. That's another interpretation. You have a person who's a good person, he's a friend, he's a colleague, he's an associate, and this person really indeed is a very good, honest, hardworking person and does chesed l'shem shemaim. But being that this person is a Rasha, the subject of the pasuk is a Russian. If Sarah, he cannot possibly be willing to see the good in someone else.
What does he think? What grade does he have?
What?
The guy is doing your title. What dreidel does he have?
What is it exactly? You see, it's very, very common. It also works the other way around. You see people who are very good-natured, and they'll always be melameid zuchus on Rishoyim. Person's a terrible avla, and you complain, and you say, well, maybe he didn't really mean it. Really, he meant. That's because you, in your mind, you always see good in someone else, so you can't. You're always looking for good. You can't see the good in someone else. So that appears to be one interpretation of this pasuk. But that's not. That's not what the Mamloi said. The Mamloi said something very different. The Mamloi over here said the pasuk means that a Rasha is just stam Rasha throughout. He relishes. He has such pleasure when other people suffer, and he's not willing to be kind, to be gracious to another person. The Mitzudas again, I don't know. Maybe we'll try one more time. He has no favor in his fellow, his companion, who's also a Rasha Kamahu. Kiim Chashavo Letova. I have no clue what this means. Im Kain the Haroi Lev Re'ehu, it's fitting to love your friend Kamishpat Anshei Atzedek. Again, I really have no clue. Okay, we'll leave it with the two other Perushim that we mentioned, with the Mamloes, and the other idea that really Dr. Fuchte mentioned, to project your own approach to life upon other people, and this comes out in a very ugly way dealing with evil people. They project evil schemes to people who are truly tzaddikim. They're always looking to be choshed them. You have that by Moshe Rabbeinu. V'hibitu acharei Moshe. They looked after Moshe. Some yesh darshim lignai, v'yesh darshim l'shvach. What's the pshat? Yesh darshim lignai, yesh darshim l'shvach. It depends who you were. It means literally, the people in Klal Yisrael were tzaddikim. When they looked at Moshe Rabbeinu, they said, "Ah, Moshe Rabbeinu, look, he talks like HaKadosh Baruch Hu." But the people, the cruel, the Erev Rav, Dasam Va'aviram, they themselves were people who were Ifsara, they desired evil. So when they looked at Moshe Rabbeinu, they projected upon Moshe Rabbeinu their own evil, and they looked, Moshe, look how robust and how healthy he is and how wealthy he is. Everything came from us. I said this to a person, his eyes popped. I got him. This person, I'm not so far. He told me that he was learning a sefer of a certain gadol, and he says, this gadol, you learn the sefer, it's clear, he knows kol ha-Torah kula. And he starts elaborating Bavli, Yerushalmi, Shas, and Paiskim. So I said to him, it takes one to know one. And then he realized I was making litzanis of him. It's like, because you think you know Kol HaTorah Kula, so this person's in your league. So he it took him about like 20 seconds to realize that I got him. And then he wasn't very happy. Put it like that. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Alf. Ba'anosh Leitz. Now this pasuk, I do not know why. We had the same theme a few psukim back, a parak back. Exactly the same theme. Now the words are not exactly the same, and I don't know, there must be some significance in why it's repeated here. But the point is, Ba'anosh Leitz Yech Kam Pesi. When a Leitz is punished, the wise man, the Pesi, the fool, is the simpleton, becomes wise. Uve Haskil L'Chacham Yikachtas. And when a Chacham, he studies, he gains Seichel, intellect, then yikach dos, he takes lesson, he takes knowledge. Now what it basically means is, there. We had this before, that a person is punished. Sometimes when a person is punished, there's absolutely no benefit to punishing a leitz. He doesn't understand why he's being punished, and the punishment is not going to cause him to change his ways and to improve himself. So what benefit is there for the Rebbe, for the master, to punish the leitz? It's an example for others. There are other people out there who are calling the Pesi the simpleton. The simpleton, you can talk to him all you want, you can read it, you can give him what to read, and you can talk to him, and it won't make a dent in him. But when the simpleton, the Pesi, sees, observes, other people are being punished for doing something, then they get scared. So the punishment to the Leitz does not serve the Leitz himself, because the Leitz is beyond repair, beyond hope. But at least it serves as an example to strengthen, to cause the Pesi to wisen up. And then the Pasuk addresses the third category, the Chacham. The Chacham doesn't need this. The Chacham, if you would speak to, if you would tell a wise person, you know, what you're doing is wrong, it's not in your best interest, You should stop it, and you should improve your ways. If you give him a little seichel, some intellect, yikach dos, he'll get the message. A chacham is roy. Okay, roy. So he sees the future. So he keeps away. So there are three categories of people. There's the leitz, beyond hope. Whatever you do to him, it's not going to make a difference. There's the pesi. The pesi's talk is cheap. It's not going to make a difference. But physical pain will cause him to change his ways. Or more than that, observing other people suffering will cause him to change. And the chacham, just speaking softly and politely and giving him some intellect, will cause him to change. That's what the pasuk says. These three categories. Ba'anosh leitz. when the late is punished. It's not going to make a difference for the late itself. But yet, Yechkam Pesi has a tremendous benefit that the Pesi, the simpleton, will improve his ways. And when you'll bring wisdom into the mind of the Chacham, Yikach Toas, he will take the knowledge, meaning he will take knowledge to the future, know how to improve and change his ways. Let's look at the Mitzudos David Pasuk Yud Aleph Be'anosh Be'espo Oynesh Al HaLeitz. When punishment comes upon the Leitz, Imlo Yol Atzma, even though it's in this situation, it's not going to make a difference to the Leitz. Moyel Hu LePesi, there is a benefit for the Pesi, HaMishulol Havana. A Pesi lacks understanding. No matter how much you speak to him, it won't make a difference. But Ki Yischakam, but he does become wise and stuff very quickly when Al Ki Yifchad LeNafsho, when he sees that he's about to suffer, when he's going to be punished. And there's one to the Shabbatim, like what happened to the Leitz. Uve Haskil, and what about the third category? Avol Chacham. Af belomdoi divrei haskel, even just learning, studying matters of wisdom without any observing punishment to someone else and even not to himself, who atzmo yikabel toelest, he will himself gain benefit. The yikach das noisaf al mashem, he will acquire new knowledge more than what he had before, and in this context it means he will change his ways and become a better person. Rashi pasuk yud aleph ba'anosh leitz yecham pesi aide yisui haleitzim, through the suffering of the leitzim kama. The simultans, they become wise enough and they're choizer b'shuva. When we learned this pasuk, this theme, we had the same thing a week or two ago. Then we mentioned, and he actually quotes exactly the same midrashim here. It's very bizarre. He repeats himself of Yisro, he observed when he saw Amalek, what happened to Paro, and what happened to Amalek, Yisro changed his ways. Perfect for this week's parasha. Vayishma Yisro, Mashmua Shamo, he wisened up. Yisro is the subject of this pasuk. He is the Pesi. He is the foolish person. And the late is Paro and Amalek. They are the late sonim. They refused to wisen up. Hashem punished them, destroyed them. And when they were punished and destroyed, Yisro, who was originally a partner with Paro and with Amalek, there are various psukim which tell us this, that Yisro was a partner with Amalek and a partner with Paro. He wisened up and he realized that their derech is not the right derech, and he came to Klal Yisrael. And then not only that, the pasuk he concludes, the haskil lechacham yikach toas Yisro, now who the Pesi, who became wise by seeing what happened, he gave over his chachma to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he told Moshe Rabbeinu in the sixth parsha, "Havu l'cham anoshim chachamu nevonim, that you should appoint sarim, sari alafim, sari meos, sari chamishim to go appoint people to Klal Yisrael." And indeed, Moshe accepted his suggestions, his proposal, and Moshe Rabbeinu appointed leaders in Klal Yisrael. So Yisrael, the Pesi here, the Yechkam Pesi, the simultan Yisro, not only did become wise, he also his wisdom, he became so wise, he was able to give impart, haskil means he was able to impart his chokhma to Moshe, who was previously the previous chokham. Uva haskil, he gave over his wisdom lichokham to Moshe Rabbeinu yikach tos, and he accepted the information of Yisro, the proposal of Yisro to add more leaders to Klal Yisrael.
Late synonymous with the Russia. If you say Amalek was a late,
yes, Amalek was the ultimate late. So what is the late? We mentioned this many times. A late is a person that takes something that is choshev and makes nothing out of it. So it's a joker. What is a joker? You take things that are important, that are choshev, and you make a joke out of it. You make nothing out of it. A chaleit is always the opposite of a choynef. What's a flatterer? A flatterer is he takes something that's worthless, you take garbage, and you elevate it. This is the most important thing in the world. These two are opposites. A leit versus a choynef. Take a dover choshev, you make nothing out of it. Take a dover that's garbage, elevate it to the most important thing. What did Amalek do? Amalek took Klal Yisrael. They're nothing. They took the bris milah, which was the first mitzvah, the mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avraham Avinu. Hashem was curious 13 brisos on bris milah, and what did Amalek do? He took Hashem. You want a milah? He made litzanis. So the dover that is the most choshev thing, the bris milah, the bris Hashem with Avraham Avinu, he made nothing out of it. So Amalek was the ultimate late. Par was also the ultimate late. Mi Hashem. Asha Eshma Bakolo, Lo Yadati. Is there anything that is more chash than a Kadosh Baruch Hu? And for a person to say Mi Hashem, this is the ultimate late sonnets. Okay, we translate late sonnets to me like a joker, but it's a much deeper meaning. Skaf. So what does it mean? It means to take a dover choshuv and to make nothing out of it. When you think of late, think of a chaymif in the opposite form. Paro was destroyed. His whole country was destroyed. Some of his firstborn was killed. Paro was obviously a very evil person.
Yeah, but as you mentioned before, the intent was to punish the lates so others won't do any good. Others will learn.
Will learn. Right, so Hashem will.
Because
that's a machlokes. Some learn that Paro wisened up. Paro was the only one who survived Kriyas Yam. This is a medrash, such a medrash. And there are conflicting medrashim. Not everyone agrees, there are different opinions, but one medrash says that he was the only one that survived Kriyas Yam Suf in order that he should go and tell the world about the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the medrash goes on to say he became the king of Nineveh. And the story, it's very little bizarre. He lived so long. He was the king of Nineveh at the time of Yonah. When Yonah came to Nineveh and said to Nineveh, Hashem's going to destroy this country because you're all a bunch of Rishayim. So what did the king do? Immediately he said, we're going to do tshuva. He declared a three-day fast day. And they did tshuva. And they were saved. Who was the king that listened to the words of Yonah? According to this medrash, again, it's very bizarre. How old had he had to be? Yonah lived during the time of the Shoftim. It's not really all that long. Far ahead, it was during the time of the Shoftim, Yonah. So, was it really a few hundred years?
Yonah lived after the splitting of the kingdom, didn't he?
Yonah lived after, so that wasn't how, okay, that was during, well, did he live then? That's when Yonah lived? He lived during the time of the Bayis Rishon? I don't know.
Of course. Not Bayis Rishon, but after the destruction of...
That's why...
Aseres HaShvatim?
Yeah?
Okay, so then it's 500 years. It's 600 years then. Okay, I don't know. Okay, so what this means... listen, I don't know what this means.
Gilgul.
To say... we don't like saying Gilgul. That's not a... That's not... Today it became very popular. It's very disturbing. When I grew up, knowing you never heard the word, you never heard this thing. Never. No one would dare say Gilgul. The shoes that I learned in, you never heard this concept. What kind of thing is Gilgul, hocus pocus? This one, what?
You saw a dog or a cat hanging around your shoe, you always said that was a Gilgul.
This today, it's become a new thing today. Today became a whole new thing that we're looking for, so we have no solutions, so it's like a cop-out. Instead of a Muna, what?
Indians believe.
Gilgulim. It became very popular. This thing. That's the solution to all your problems is Gilgul Neshamas. All right. Listen to that. My Chazal.
There's a whole parsha on it in Bilam. I mean, in Bilam.
Yeah. Bilam was Lavan. There are many Mamori Chazal that support this, Enoch Nami and the Rami Pano, and they have even Svarim. They even Svarim. I saw a Sefer published, shows all the Gulam, all the people. Okay, these are very.
I heard it because unbelievable. And I said, look, instead of Bilam, so the Rebbe. Like
same
that.
Thing.
And by that, everybody was yelling. It's the same person, doesn't it?
Same person. Bob Kari taught me who's a pretty big expert. He says the hardest the hardest thing he has to concentrate all the time. He's a Talmud Chacham. This person, so he says, is Ushmartem es hamatzis. He always has the urge subconsciously to say Ushmartem es hamitzvahs. Al tikri matzis el mitzvahs. He has to concentrate. Not to make that mistake. Okay, but I don't know why. All I think is when we grew up, it was disturbing. It's like a cop out. It's not emuna pshuta. This thing of Gilgul Neshamas. That's not the onus questions. Today, I don't know. I was very disturbed. I went to a shir on Tisha B'Av, and it was a very normal, very run of the mill. He gave a shir for an hour about Gilgul Neshamas. It's the solution to all the problems. That's the Emuna. I was just shocked. I couldn't believe he was speaking there to, regular Hamoinam, and very, very run of the mill.
Yes, it says that Yonah lived.
Yonah lived. dimension kings 14 us. Okay, Kim Yoav. Okay, so he lived. He had to live then 600 years at least. Wow. At least 600 years from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Even more, maybe almost 700 years. 600. It was 480 years since the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and it was another two until the time of the Dvaning of the Malchus. Another 200 years. Another Dvaning of the Malchus. Another 200 years. No, Dvaring of the Malchus, another 100 years. Okay, so about 500, so almost close to 600 years, something like that. About 600 years. So could he live that long? Who knows? Maybe there's such a thing that people had Arich HaSyam in ancient times that we're not aware of. They had some type of longevity pills that we don't know.
Elisha, the meaning of Mepharshim, one of Mepharshim says that Elisha, the child that brought back to life, was young.
Elisha, okay, so whatever this means. So that touched upon your question, Paro. Paro was preserved to live, he changed. Okay, let's go back to the next pasuk.
What about the child that brought back to life?
Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Let's move ahead. Pasuk Yud Beis, Maskil Tzadik, Lebeis Rasha, Misalef Rishaim Lara. Okay, now this is a difficult pasuk. The pasuk Yud Beis, Maskil Tzadik, Lebeis Rasha, Misalef Rasham Lara. The pasuk Mitzudas Yud Beis says, Kasher Hatzadik, Oime Lebeis Rasha, Hatzadik Hazem Matzliach Beis Hashel Harasha. Kinesparch Biglo. This happened to Yosef. Yosef was appointed to be the Tsar Agent Potiphar. Everything became successful. That when a tzaddik, when you have a tzaddik working in your business, so even though the person, the owner of the business, he's not roy that he should be succeed, but in zuchus, a tzaddik brings into the business hatzlacha. Many chassidim, I don't know if they do it today, but it used to be, they do it today also, they make the rebbe, unfortunately, I don't know if the rebbe today, you hold the rebbe to be a tzaddik, okay, it's an happy cursus, but they make the rebbe a partner in the business, a tzaddik to be a shutif.
Creditors come. They say, go to the
rep. Put him in jail. Don't put us in jail. Put him in jail for all the.
Well, when they go, the same thing. When they go to the rebbe, he tells them they owe you money. He says, go to my partners.
So this is the concept. The concept is that if you have a partner in your business in the zuchus, since if the business will succeed, that will automatically bring benefit to the tzaddik. So in the merit of that tzaddik, you'll live on his coattails. You'll attach yourself to his coattails. So that's really what it says over here. But here it says in a much more profound way, is that it's not just he'll be successful. Okay, success, but at least you won't be a Rasha. At least the influence of a tzaddik being a partner in your business will have an effect upon the other people, on the environment, and the people will be misalef, will remove themselves from evil, will cause them to be better people. I know someone in business, he was a very, very good person, and he worked in a very rough place, and every time they had a meeting with their clients, and also a bunch of rough people, and they when they got together, they talked terrible nivel peh and terrible things. They insisted, the partners insisted that it was a woman, that she come to the meetings, and she didn't understand why you always demand that I come to the meetings. So once the partner, the CEO told her, because when you're at the meeting, it's civil. Everyone, just your presence, not just she was a woman, she was a chashur person, just your presence, the clients don't talk nivel peh, and our people are calmer. You bring to the meeting a certain dignity which changes the dynamics of the entire meeting, and everything works out a lot better. Now, just the presence of a person, and that's to some degree what the pasuk over here says. If you bring a tzaddik, maskil tzaddik lebeis rasha, maskil here is not the way it's been used in the previous pasuk. It's very difficult. The previous pasuk, mas ha'uva haskil, means to make wise. In pasuk yud beis, it means success. It's a loose translation. Success. Look at the Mitzudos David. Tzion. He actually says that Maskil Inyan Hatzlacha. In the previous pasuk, the Mitzudos David said the word Haskel means Divrei Haskel. It means words of wisdom. Words of wisdom. The same Mitzudos over here is shifting between one pasuk and the next pasuk. All depends what it means in the context. Maskil Tzadik Lebeis Rasha. a tzaddik brings success to the home, to the business, or the home of the Rasha. So, why would you want to do that? It's not that you want to give the Rasha a lot of money and Ishri. It's adrabah. By the success brings with it bracha in that the Rasha does tshuva. Misalef Rishaim Lara. It causes the Rishaim to be misalef the Ra, Lara, the evil that exists in their ability, in their business. It causes them to sweep away, to take away that evil. Let's see the Mitzvah again inside. Pasuk Yibes, Maskil Tzadik, Kasher HaTzadik, Oymed Bebes Rasha. Hatzadik hazeh matzliach beisoy shel harasha. Kines barach biglalo. He causes the home of the Rasha to be successful because the home of the Rasha is blessed because of the tzaddik. The hisiba, and this has a side effect, a very good side effect. The hisiba is a cause lasalek es harashaim lasoy sra. It causes the rishaim to stop from doing evil. Because they think they realize that it's only in the merit of the tzaddik they have been blessed. And his deeds are good in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they want to emulate those good deeds. They also want to be good people. They see that it's kedai to be good in order to be blessed. So this is a very interesting idea, how far the koyach of a tzaddik can go. But you have to have a real tzaddik. It's not so easy today to find real tzaddikim. Not nice to say. Alright, let's go further. Pasik Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel is Mida Kineged Mida. Oitem Oznam is... Yeah. Oh, we do Rashi. I'm sorry, we do Rashi. Yeah, I'm saying. Yeah. Ki Yachshoi Vavuroi. Wait, let's see, read it. The Siba, the Salik es Harasham la Sosra. This event of having the tzaddik come into their home is a cause, the Salik es Harashaim, to cause them to stop. To stop the Rashaim from doing Ra.
Could really be me la
so. So you want to say it means the other way around?
Because
you want it. I know you're trying to say is that I think what you're
looking.
Okay, so a lot of these sukkim are meira, lora, lesalek. Okay, let's see. Kiyachshoy, let's see. Siba lesalek esar roshoyim to cause them to stop la sosra. Okay, you want to say just the opposite. Okay. Correct. Okay. I'm not totally taking back what I said because it's subject to interpretation. No, I really mean it's subject to interpretation. But you're right. I think you're correct that according to the Muslim means just the opposite. That sometimes when you have a tzaddik in your business, it's not good. Because if the Rasha would be alone, then the business would collapse.
Right.
He would go bankrupt, and then he would be forced to look in the mirror and to realize that he's a Rasha and do tshuva. But now that he has a tzaddik in his business, and the business is only successful because of the tzaddik, so the Rasha thinks, oh, I'm also a tzaddik. I'm doing something good. So he continues to cheat and deceive and to harm other people. Okay, that's key. How do we then over here? Maskil tzaddik lebeis Rasha. Misalef Rishayim l'ra'ah misab means it prevents the Rishayim from ceasing from doing ra. You also have to say the mem. You see, even according to your interpretation, the lama doesn't fit well into the pasuk. Say l'ra'ah misaleif. Misal means to take away. So what does it mean to take away? It prevents the Rishayim from taking away the ra'ah because they believe that their deeds are good. Okay, that's l'chayim with the mitzvahs. But it also, the pasuk can also be interpreted. I'm sure if you look at the mitzvah, Mam Lois, he always shows every angle. Okay, he always puts a spin, many spins on the psukim, but the other interpretation definitely is, there's also truth to the interpretation is that when you have a good person in your business, that definitely changes the environment, and they're influenced by the tzaddik, and they also begin to do good things. Pasik, okay, Rashi, we're into the Rashi. Rashi, let's see Rashi, I've got the Rashi. No, there is no Rashi.
The Malbim agrees with Yankee.
Yeah, okay. So you misled. The people are misled. They think that their evil deeds are what brings them success. Okay, there is no Rashi. There is Rashi. I'm sorry, there is Rashi. Pasuk Yud Beis. Maskil Tzadik. There is Rashi. Tzadikoy Shalolim is a Kriya Kodesh Baruch Hu. Noisein Lev Lahachris Beis Rasha. Kegoin Zech, the remembrance of Amalek. So Rashi is learning over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Tzadik. and he is maskil, he pays attention. Maskil here means no sane leif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware. He recognizes that the Rasha exists, and the goal is misalef rishon l'ra, and the goal is to no sein lev lahachris space rasha of going zecher amalek. A whole different interpretation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays attention that the rishon have to be obliterated. And what does that have to do with the previous psukim? I have no idea. All right, let's go further. The pasuk Gid Gimel oitem oznam izak astol gamhu yikro v'lo yeoneh nida k'neged nida. If a person he seals up his ear from listening to the cry of the poor man, that when the day will come, when he will call out, when he will be in need, and no one will come to his aid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules the world nida k'neged nida. That's probably the most important lesson of this week's parasha. When Yisrael came to Klal Yisrael, he says ata yedati gadol shem mikol l'holokim ki v'adavar. We call him Ki Vadavar Sher Zadu Alehem. Yisro was made aware, he acknowledged, and he blessed Hashem for the Midah, for the concept of Midah Keneged Midah. Here, Midah Keneged Midah is not just, the Pasuk is teaching us not just in the positive form. If I will do something, the same thing will be done to me. If I do good, then the same good that I did to someone else will come, boomerang, come back to me. If I do bad, the same bad I did to someone else will come back to me. Midah Keneged Midah also operates in silence, by not doing things. If I don't do what I'm supposed to do, then when the time comes that I need someone to do something for me, they also won't do what needs to be done for me. So midah k'neged midah works in this world also in the negative form. Oitem ozno mizak asal, if you keep, you close your ear, you make believe you don't hear when a poor man cries out, then you can expect that down the line when you need help and you're crying out, no one's going to come to your rescue. Gam hu yikra, the day will come when you will call out, midah k'neged midah, no one's going to listen to your cry. Person closes his ear from listening to the cry of the poor man. His tormentors. Gemuloi, what will be his punishment? He will cry out, La Ezra, the Ein Mi Yashiv Lo, no one will respond to him. Rashi, Oite means Soisim. Now there's a medrash. The medrash is not, it's not a direct medrash, it's just a story. And the story, in the story, they quote this pasuk. I'll read you here the shorter version in this sefer. Tani bar kapara. No, I'm not the wrong thing. One second. Oitim, here it is. It's the Gemara in Shabbos. And daf nun hey amid aleph. Rabbi Yehuda havi Yosef kamei de Shmuel. There was a ma'isa shahaya. Rabbi Yehuda was sitting before the Rabbi Shmuel. Asaya he itisok tzavcha kamei. A woman came into court and started screaming and started saying, "This guy's a ganef, and this one he did this and did this." She demanded mishpat. Kotzavcha kamei v'lo yavi mashkachba, and Shmuel just ignored her. Shmuel did not respond to her. So his student Rabbi Yehuda was shocked. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Shmuel, how come you're ignoring this woman? She's calling for justice. You're in charge here. Amalei savolamas. We quoted this pasuk. The Talmud said to the Rabbi, didn't you learn Mishlei? Didn't you learn what it says in the pasuk? Oitem ozno mizaka stal gamhu yikrev lo yoneh. If you don't answer her, the day will come when you will be in the same predicament, and no one's going to come to your rescue. So it's a good investment that you should take care of her. So Amalei, so Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, Shinina, sharp one, Reishech Bikriri, Reishe de Reishech Bichamimi. Ha Yosef Mar Ukva Av Bezdin. Okay, so he said to him that your head, meaning me, I'm in cold water. But your head's head, meaning the Av Bezdin, who was Mar Ukva. In other words, basically what he said was, I'm not in charge here. Rav Yehuda was an apprentice. Rav Shmuel was an assistant judge. But the Rosh, the chief justice, was Mar Ukva. So Rav Yehuda was complaining to the assistant justice. So he said, listen, you're right. I'm in trouble. I'm in cold water. But the one that's going to suffer the hot water is the Av Bezdin, is Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva, he's in charge here, and he already decided he doesn't want to help her. So there's nothing I can do. So he's basically coming to say is, there are times, the Gemara is telling us that there are times when you're not responsible. When oitem ozno, when you keep your mouth, oitem ozno mezak astal, Gamhu yikra v'lo yi'aneh, you're not always held accountable. You're not always held accountable if you're not in charge. You're not in charge. It's not your responsibility. However, the Gemara does tell us you're not totally exempt, because he did say about himself that your head, meaning myself, I am immersed in cold water. Your head's head, the person in charge of me, I'm your head, I'm in charge of you. But the one that's in charge of me is Mar Ukva, his head is in hot water. He's in trouble for violating this pasuk. But what's the lesson that indirect? I'm also in trouble. But the suffering that I will get is as if someone threw me into cold water. Obviously, it's not very pleasant if someone tries to suffocate you, to drown you in cold water.
Waterboarding.
Hot water is get burnt. That's even worse. But this is the nusach of the Gemara. I acknowledge that I am in cold water, but the one that will ultimately suffer the consequences is in hot water. Because who's in charge here? Hayosef Mar Ukva Avbezdin, and he has his cheshbonos. There is some reason why he does not want to pay attention to her, which the Gemara does not tell us. Next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Dal. This is a very famous pasuk, and this pasuk is subject to many interpretations. Matan Baseser Yichbe Of V'Shoichad Bacheik Chema Aza. A person gives a gift secretly. This is a very great merit to a person's soul, to give tzedakah b'seser, not to cause embarrassment to the poor person, that he should realize he's receiving a handout. This mitzvah is so great. Yichbe means it conceals, it covers, it hides anger. If Chas v'Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at this individual for any sin that he has committed, through the mitzvah of giving tzedakah secretly, that anger is extinguished, that anger is concealed. Now, the end of the pasuk is a little bit more difficult. I'll read it literally first. On the other hand, what is the opposite extreme of giving tzedakah b'seser? Is taking bribes. I guess the common theme is money. You can give money. Both these types of gifts are done secretly. When you give tzedakah b'seser, that's a very great mitzvah. You don't cause embarrassment. When you bribe a judge, you don't write about it in the New York Times that I gave the Chief Justice $1 million so that he should decide in my favor. You're going to give him a bribe very quietly when no one is watching. Otherwise, you couldn't get away with it. But Hashem says, you think you're going to do this and you're going to get away with it? Aha. Then, chema aza, there is enormous anger. Chema is heat. Heat is even greater than af. Af is just body temperature, comes out of the nose. Chema, there's actual fire, it's heat. Aza, mighty, the punishment will be swift and severe. So according to the way I've translated the pasuk, is there are two parts. The first part is a good thing, tzedakah, and the second part of the pasuk is a bad thing, is bribery. The pasuk rewards tzedakah, b'seser, with removal of anger, and the pasuk punishes bribery with chema aza. Rashi and most of the commentators do not learn like this. They tell us that you have to add words into the pasuk, and you have to assume that the word shochad is not to be taken literally, a bribe, but shochad means a gift. It could very well be the word shochad means a gift. It's just that we normally use the word shochad in reference to giving a judge a gift legally. But shochad doesn't have to mean that. Shochad means you give a gift. What kind of gift you give? Tzedakah. And now, what is shochad? A connotation of you give tzedakah secretly. So in this context, shochad is a repetition of a matan b'seser. What is a shochad? It's a matan b'seser. But in this context, it's good. I'm giving a matan b'seser to who? To a poor man. Not to a judge who's going. I'm not giving the matan b'seser to influence his thinking to change the verdict. I'm giving him a gift. I'm giving a poor man a gift. And what is the goal? Now you have to add a word into the pasuk. Yichbe. Just like it said the word yichbe in the beginning of the pasuk, that word has to be repeated at the end of the pasuk. That is the style of the psukim in Mishlei. And then in psukim you repeat words. Yichbe chema aza. It will conceal, it will cover, shelter great anger. So the pasuk basically repeats the concept twice. This is how Rashi to the Mitzvahs and Rashi to the Midrashim for one Mitzvahs first. Matan, hanoisin matan b'seisa l'mish shechora apa, l'mish p'kama. A Okay, Mitzvah is something entirely different. I'm really reading the Midrash and Rashi. The Mitzvah is something entirely differently. Hanoi Saint Matan Beseser Lemi Shechora Apobo Hine Hamatan Azei Yichase Esfa'afolo Yie Nire Od. The Mitzvah Stavit. Hanoi Saint Matan Beseser Lemi to whom Shechora Apobo. So according to the Mitzvah, we're not dealing with Staka. Mitzudos David is saying something, a very simple concept. You have a person, you have a friend, and the friend is angry at you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. And you give him a little gift to calm him down, to placate him. Hanoi Sein Matan Besis Lemi, placate him. Lemi Shechora Apo, to a person who is angry at you. Apo, Apo Bo, Hine, Hamaton Hazeh, this gift, Yechas Esaaf, it will calm him down. The low yin niraot, the shochad b'cheik, hano sein shochad b'cheik rotzolai mar behester, oz yichbe bezech chema azeh. So you see how the mitzvahs, he takes the word yichbe and he repeats it a second time in the end of the pasuk, which automatically forces us to assume that when it says here shochad does not mean a bribe to a judge, it means a gift that's given quietly. Oz yichbe bezech chema azeh. The chazaka, it can cover, conceal great anger. The kofel hadavar b'miloy shoynes this, that the idea is repeated twice in the pasuk. Now let's look at Rashi. Rashi does not learn that we're dealing over here, we're dealing with two different friends, two different people who have a quarrel, and you want to calm down your friend, you want to give him a gift to go and to make friends. Let's be friends. Let's make up. Let's kiss and make up. So that's really what it says over here. And how do you kiss and make up? You give him a gift, but why do you give it to him quietly? I don't know why. You give it to him gently. Why don't you give him a gift in front of the entire world? I don't know. Give it to him quietly.
Personal thing.
Personal between.
Help you to give it publicly.
Publicly. So giving a gift to a person that's angry at you, you can do wonders. It's taka very true. If you give someone a gift, even a small little gift, that goes a long way in making up with people who.
It's an admission of guilt on some level.
Then. You give them a gift. Yeah, a gift. Okay. And what does Rashi say? Rashi says, no, we're not dealing with two friends, not dealing with quarreling, we're dealing with mitzvahs. Rashi is really quoting from the Gemara. Matam Seser Tzedakah. Then the Shochad Bechek. So Rashi could not be clearer. Rashi says Shochad, explicit. Af Zo Tzedakah. The word Shochad here also means Tzedakah. And Rashi is clear as day. Yichbe Af. Yichbe Chema Aza. Rashi says, to repeat the word yichbe twice. If you give tzedakah, whether it's matan b'sei, so you give tzedakah called a shochad, it will be chema aza. It will be. It will take away chema aza. Now, perhaps we can darshan a homiletic interpretation. I don't see this, but we can say this. We know there are two different types of giving tzedakah b'seiser. You give tzedakah b'seiser where the ani does not know who gave it, but you know who you gave it to. You go in the middle of the night, and you know this person doesn't have what to eat, so in the middle of the night you come and you put it under his door. You slip in some money, an envelope. So the poor man doesn't know who gave him the money. So when he goes to shul the next day and he sees everyone in shul, he's not embarrassed because he has no idea who gave him the money. But the one who gave him the money, the one who slipped the envelope of $1,000, you look down at him. When you walk into shul, he doesn't know that you gave him the money, but when every time you see him, it's human nature. It's impossible not to feel this. You feel, I did this guy a favor. He doesn't realize how good I am. That's the way the world is. Sometimes you have no choice. So the Gemara says that you have done a very great noble deed, but it's not the highest level of tzedakah. The highest level of tzedakah is when you yourself don't know who you gave it to. I don't know who I gave it to. I just gave money to the pushka. That's why you went to the pushka, and the pushka goes to people. There are people in the community that are very poor, you don't even know about. And you give it to a fund, and the person in charge, he distributes it to the people who need the money. So that's the highest level. You don't know who you gave it to, and the people who receive it do not know who they got it from. So perhaps we can say that's really what it means, a shochad, a real bribe is such a good bribe when you don't know even who it came from. You can't trace it. Right, you can't trace the money. You can't get caught. What?
It means you slip it into the guy's pocket. You know?
So, but see, matan b'seiser perhaps refers to giving it when you the giver knows. I know who I gave it to. But perhaps shochad, where the repetition is alluding to a type of gift where even the no sane doesn't know who he gave it to. The no sane is shochad, a bribe. The best bribe is you can't get caught. If they go and they start looking through the books, the IRS on your case, they go through your book and they see where the money, they can trace the money trail, then you finish. But if the money is done, the money is the shochah, and this in a negative way, is done in a way where you can't trace the money, also you've really succeeded in the ultimate shochah. When you take that concept and you transmogrify it into the positive form, a positive method, then it means that the nosein, it alludes to a case where the nosein does not know who gave him the money. That's a higher madrega. And that higher madrega is to take away not just af, can take away even a chema aza. Two different types of tzedakah. Okay, so this Rashi and the Mitzudas. Now let's quote some of the Midrashim very quickly. There's a Medrash. There's a very interesting Medrash. The Medrash says, see, there's a sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak. The Gemara starts off, the Gemara of Basra, Amar Belazar, God loyis at tzedakah b'seisa yoyisa mi Moshe Rabbeinu. A person that gives tzedakah b'seisa is greater than even Moshe Rabbeinu. What a zechus, what a merit to be called. How is that possible? The Ilu b'Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in Devarim, in the sixth part, concerning what happened by Matan Torah, ki agarti mipnei ho'af ha'chema. Moshe said, by the Chet Ha'egel, I was afraid of the af and the chema. Two things. Now, what is af and chema? I have no idea. Whatever that means, but it means two things. But what is it?
One is burning inside, and one is exhibiting your anger.
One is exhibiting anger. Okay, that's af.
You just see it inside. You don't let it out.
It's giving it forth. Giving forth. Explode. Moshe was afraid of af and chema. And the ilu be'oset tzedakah k'siv, this pasuk, matan b'seiser, one type of tzedakah, yich be'af, it covers, af, shoychad, and shoychad here means another form of tzedakah, a higher level of tzedakah, b'shoychad b'cheik, shoychad is given to the bosom, given secretly, is chema aza, yich be'chema aza. So by giving tzedakah, and by giving a sheichad v'cheik, other than that type of tzedakah, he takes away af v'chema. So giving tzedakah is greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. However, now this is a very fascinating idea. I have no idea what this means. I'm reading the words of Pligod Rabbi Yitzchak. It's a Gemara. Rabbi Yitzchak disagrees. Rabbi Yitzchak holds a whole new pshat in the pasuk, which is a very bizarre pshat in the pasuk, that don't get carried away. Giving tzedakah is a very great thing, but the other Rabbi Yitzchak, af koife, if you give tzedakah secretly, you're right, Hashem will take away his af. But giving tzedakah secretly will not take away the chema. There's still left a little bit, if we're saying it's correct, that af maybe means the external manifestation, right, and chema means the internal. Just because you write out a check of $100 to a tzedakah organization doesn't make you into a tzedakah. You're a good person. You gave some tzedakah. There's a lot more to do to perfect your way. You can't bribe a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And that's the pasuk that says, "Af koife, chema." That's the best thing. But even the person himself, parting with your money doesn't grant you olam haba. Chema, einoi koife. Moshe, af yagarti mimneho, af achema. You give tzedakah, good, matan b'sefer, yich be'af. But shoychad b'cheik, just because, a whole new interpretation of the pasuk, just because you gave shoychad b'cheik, sorry buddy, chema aza. The chema aza is still there. Hashem is still angry at you. You did an avera. You did a lot of averas. So Hashem was going to punish you. External manifestation of Hashem's anger. Af. You give tzedakah, okay, we'll suspend. But Hashem is not happy with you. There is still a chema aza within HaKadosh Baruch Hu at a person for his sins. And the tzedakah you've given can temporarily suspend punishment. But if you want the chema aza to disappear, you have to do a sincere teshuvah, which is hard work, to change your ways and work on yourself. The chema aza still remains. This is a fair shugmar, Masechta Bava Basra. Machlekes, the two different opinions, the machlekes basically is how to read the pshat in the pasuk. Do we repeat the word yichbe a second time? Both opinions in the Gemara agree that sheichad b'cheik is a form of tzedakah. It's a repetition. Two types of tzedakah. Matan b'seiser tzedakah and sheichad b'cheik is tzedakah. The question is, do we repeat the word word yichbe. If we don't repeat, if we do repeat the word yichbe, we're telling you that a person that gives stock is greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. If we don't repeat the word yichbe, then it's telling us giving stock or you're half as good as Moshe, half better than Moshe. You can yichbe af, but you have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still has bad feelings against you for your sins, and you need to work on yourself. Giving money is not the solution to all problems. Most problems, but not all problems. Okay, let's go to then the Gemara also, so that's not the, the Gemara also says, the other pshat, Bambash, this is now we're shifting from one Gemara to another Gemara, and the Gemara interprets the pasuk Sheikhad means, like I told you originally, it means bribery. Okay, it means little pshuta kemashmo. You go to a judge and he says, I have a case before you today, and I want to win, and here's $100. What's it to you? Just passing in my favor. You can go both ways. So that's a pashim shot. Matan b'seisa yichbe off. A person gives charity secretly. You give money secretly. So in that way, you'll Hashem's anger will subside. But the sheichad b'cheik. But if you want to give money secretly in a corrupt way, by giving it to a judge to influence his thinking to change the decision, chema aza, Hashem is furious. So the Gemara interprets the pasuk pashim pshutuk imashma in reference to the simple translation of chema. There's only, no, there's an isser, there's a discussion.
He doesn't take it, is it sheikh?
Yes, it is. There's a discussion, like yes, even to offer sheikhat.
The judge?
What? The judge gets nothing. The chema aza is for the person who gives it. He's getting chema aza. I mean, saying, what's the matter? The judge takes it, what is he going to get? So, Lachar, of course, Pasha's going to get the chema aza together. They're both going to get it.
No, it's not his fault, it's the fault of the bride.
They're both going to get it. Okay, let's go to...
the third type of anger, yeah.
Yeah.
Ketzer. The Avon of the Chemo of Ketzer Gadol.
Ketzer.
Ketzer. Ketzer. Ketzer.
Ketzer. Ketzer.
Ketzer. Ketzer.
Ketzer. The English translation is great fury, but Ketzer Gadol. Wrath, anger, wrath, great fury.
The ketzef is usually given on a tzibur. It's not given on a
tzibur. Yeah, well, that's what it's talking about in that pasuk.
Right, so we're talking about the ketzef.
Okay, ketzef Yerushalmi, let's read you this with the words of Yerushalmi. The words of Yerushalmi are strange story. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa have a maflig mitzvah b'layla. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, he was distributing mafli, means he was making great a mitzvah in the middle of the night. What does it mean he was making great a mitzvah? What does that mean? He was involved in giving tzedakah. He, in the middle of the night, he went out to all the poor people. When they were sleeping, they were not aware. He slipped money underneath their door. That's what he did. That's Rechonim Bar-Papa. Chad, what?
Temchisham.
Matan B'seisa. That's what he did in the middle of the night. But he did this specifically when no one should see him. No one should get any credit. No one should see him. Matan B'seisa. And then one night, as he's making his rounds, who does he bump into? He bumps into the Malach HaMavis, the Satan. Chad... Chadzman, Pogabe Rabhon Deruche, the master of the spirits, meaning the master of the spirits, meaning the Malach HaMavis, meaning the Satan, the Malach HaMavis, the Yetzihara, the person in charge of all good things. He met him. Amalei, so he said to him, so the Satan said to him, what are you doing in the middle of the night? State in the Torah, Gvul Re'echa. This is my turf. The night is my time. It's when I go out and I make trouble. The demons hang out. We make tzaris in the middle of the night. In choshech and seser and hiddenness is when the satan operates. Loi kedan alfin rebbe. Didn't your teacher kedin like this? Were you not taught by your teacher? Loi sasi gvul re'echa. Re'acha, thank you, Re'acha. Omar Lei, so Rav Chanina Bar Papa said to him, the Ksivit says, Matan B'Sefer, that's exactly why it says in the Mishlei, Yichbe'af. Yichbe'af means that in a chnami, it's your territory, but we have a loophole, that giving tzedakah in the middle of the night, we have kedima. Yichbe, we're able, the af is a code for the Satan. Yichbe, he has to go into hiding. Even though it's your territory, but that's only on the condition that there are people not involved in Nimatan Beseser.
Sorry, it's both.
Both?
It twice.
So twice in the Torah.
Yeah. Lo sasig vul reyacha. That's via Markel Omame. Lo sasig vul reyacha asher gavlu rishonim. So it's two different.
Two different sukkim. Okay. I wouldn't know the difference. Don't worry. Vahaya, so he got the better of the Satan. Vahave miskape minei v'orik min kame. He won. He prevailed. The Satan said, you're right. You're right. Giving stock in the middle of the night has the koyach to drive out the Satan from his gevul. It's a very profound chazal, because obviously it has a lot of symbolism, a lot of meaning. The Satan has shlita over choshech, over Esther Panim. We live in a world of Yanochi, Haster, Aster Panai. Hashem gives Satan full reign. And when the Satan has full reign, he has a koyach. And not just, he does things. He does things that he does things that are abnormal. L'malam derech hateva, because that's his territory. But giving tzedakah, beseser, doing acts of kindness secretly, is a koyach to be oiker the Satan from the matziv of Hester Panim. You can get rid of him. You can get rid of the Hester Panim by doing acts of kindness in the state of Hester Panim. So Yishalmi Ferish, Yishalmi, in the Sechta Peya, and in the Sechta Shkolim. Okay, one last thing before we conclude. Okay, this is Gemara Sechta Sota. You never expect the pasuk to connect these things together. Matan the seiser, the end of the pasuk, kol adam sheyesh by gasois haruach, a person who is a bal gaiva, okay, a person who is a gas ruach, afilu oiset tzedaka, the seiser, even if he is a philanthropist, gives money, gives millions of dollars, the seiser, no one even knows about, yet is not. He's not going to be free spirit from Gehenim. He'll go to Gehenim even though he gave a lot of money to tzedakah because of the gaiva. This pasuk, it says here, matan b'seiser yichbe af, but the pasuk says it may very well be that he gives a lot of tzedakah, and by giving tzedakah yichbe af, he's able to cover up anger. But guess what? In the big picture of things, v'shochad b'chek, if there's a bribery in his bosom, what does it mean here according to the Medrash and the Gemara? A shochad gaiva. The Yetzirah has shlita. The Yetzirah has bribed him. How has he bribed him? He made him feel special. That's how the Gemara interprets this chazal. He bribed him by making him, you're special, you're a tzaddik, there's shochad b'chek. So guess what? There's going to be a Chema Aza. And the Chema Aza is a lot more powerful than the Af. In other words, if you have a candle, a candle is very good. It takes away when it's pitch black dark. But when you turn on the lights, Tia Shraga Betira Mayahani, what benefit is there to a candle in the day when the sun is out? So very good, you've given tzedakah. Oh, very good. The tzedakah takes away the Af. But the Af is nothing compared to the Chema. It's like a little boo-boo on your finger. Oh, it hurts. That's nothing compared to when the whole body is burning, when the whole body is suffering. It's nothing. So very good, you're a very nice guy. You give a little tzedakah, and you're giving a little tzedakah. Yich, the Af is going to take away the little boo-boo. But if there's Shoychad v'cheik, if the Yetzirah has penetrated your innermost self and has bribed you to make you feel special, the Gaiva, Chema Aza, and that Chema Aza will overshadow any little bit of a goodness that you've done with Staka that was Yichbe'ah. This is how the Gemara in the Sechta Sota interprets this very pasuk. Okay, that concludes this pasuk, and we'll stop over here.